protected. Amen. In your arms, never disconnected. In your arms, I feel protected. And there's no place I'd rather be. How many can say amen to that? Give the Lord a hand clap. No place I'd rather be. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. So glad that each and every one of you are here. I see several churches that are represented here tonight. God bless you all. Thank you for coming and joining us and worshiping the Lord Jesus and making this extra special. It would have been special, but this makes it extra special. You come and join your lick of fire together. You know, we haven't done it in years, but we used to sometimes go camping and, you know, build a fire, and we would enjoy that. But I always wanted to build a big fire, you know, not just a little fire, a big fire, a bonfire, right? And to me, that was, of course, a little bit of a fire bug. So, you know, maybe that's another story altogether. But when we come together and we join our licks of fire together, it's a bonfire. And more of Him. Amen? Amen. So we do appreciate each and every one of you coming. Now, I had you sit down for a purpose, because I'd like, if you're a minister, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't mind standing for just a moment so we could recognize you if you're a minister. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate your service. Amen. So we started out with our brother Andrew Glover. He hails now from Black Rock, Arkansas. And we just had a wonderful time on Wednesday night. You know, there was no ice that had to be broke. There was no ice that was left. Brother David came the next night. There was no ice. So we just so appreciate the goodness of the Lord and the power of His Word. And Brother Andrew preached a message he titled Expectations Lit by the Message, right? And we are in full expectation in this hour, right? Our expectation is not going downhill. Things are not petering out. Things are not dying out. Our expectation is on fire, right? And we were reminded of that again. You know, you don't want to look off at what other people are doing. Other people are going to do what other people are going to do, right? We feel bad, but in the meanwhile, it was sent for you. We want to run this race, recognizing, you know, that if this was like a relay race, we don't have anybody to hand the baton off to. Right? Our destination is to cross the finish line. Right? We're the finishers of the race. Right? So we can't stop. We just gotta run with everything that's in us. And those that have went, the way of the grave before us, they're in expectation themselves. They're, you know, just in another dimension right here, but moving a little faster. They're waiting on us, and they're depending on us. They ran their part of the race, and we're here tonight because they ran their part of the race, right? We stepped on their shoulders, if you will. But now they're waiting on us, right? We've got to run our race. We've got to finish our race. And it's an exciting time. You have a great future. Outpouring is just ahead of us. Amen. So we're pressing. And anyway, wonderful message, wonderful start of the services. And then it was followed up last night with our brother David Gadman from, if I get this right, is it Ohatchee, Alabama? Where's Brother David at? Did I get that right? Ohatchee. Yeah. Brother, his pastor's brother, Homer Longoria. And so we've known, I think Brother David was one of the first ministers that I met when I went back east, and I went to Brother Joe Green's missions meetings, I think, in 2008 2007 or 2008, and I met Brother David out in the kind of the foyer of where the meetings were taking place, and you know, we just connected right away. And, he's a real servant of God, a real soldier of the cross, and he preached a tremendous message last night. Amen. Stir thyself, you know, just following on the heels of the message that we heard the night before, expectations lit by the message. It's not a time to slumber. It's not a time to fall asleep. It's not a time to get caught up in the this and the that and the other. You got to shake yourself. You got to stir yourself. Tremendous, tremendous thoughts that were expressed last night. And we appreciate that, Brother David. We needed that. Amen. Tonight we, our brother Bryce Collins and, where's Sister Stephanie at? Oh, I'm looking right at you. They hail from Victory Tabernacle in Claremore, Oklahoma, and we're just so glad to have them with us. Amen. And, I met Brother, Bryce, oh, it's been a few years now, but we were, you know, we had the fire that, had damaged our sanctuary, and while it was being rebuilt, we were meeting over in the fellowship hall, and they came and visited us, Brother and Sister Collins, and he ministered for us, and we got to have some fellowship, and it was just a good time. The timing was good, you know. We can encourage one another, and we do encourage one another, whether we realize it or not, sometimes. And God knows just the right time to send certain ones across our path, and it was a wonderful time that we had, and I appreciate his sincerity and his humility and his desire to know and to do and to be correct. Now, I didn't say right. I said correct. Some people want to be right. And even when they're wrong, they're right. Right? But he wants to be correct, just like you. And a person that wants to be correct is correctable, right? And they have a zeal to repent, right? And our prophet set that example for us, right? I mean, he would tell us, I was just wrong, you know? I taught it this way and I was wrong. He didn't say, well, no, you misunderstood, and, you know, I didn't really say it that way or just ignore it. No, he said, I was wrong. Well, if you can't say you're wrong, you'll never get right. And all of us were wrong. But we want to be correct. Right? And I'm so thankful that, you know, I'm thankful for correction. Aren't you? Because without correction, we wouldn't even know that we were wrong. And if we didn't know we were wrong, we couldn't get right. And if we couldn't get right, we couldn't be in fellowship with God. So it's the tender hand of Jehovah, isn't it? Amen, amen. Well, I told myself I'm not going to say very many words. I'm just going to come up here and introduce them. So I'm going to stop right there. Let's stand. We want the Lord to have his way once again here tonight for our third service. And so I just want to be where you are. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory, for in I just want to be with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just wanna be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't wanna worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Amen. That's all of our desire tonight. Was there a prayer request turned in for your parents, brother and sister Figueroa? No? Okay. A lot of times people will tell you that they want prayer, and then we neglect to turn in the prayer request, right? We want to do that, right? So our brother Robert Figueroa, pastor, local pastor, and his wife, they're both not feeling well, and they asked that we would remember them in prayer. And, you know, as our brother Eli was saying, it's not an idle thing, you know. When we bring people before the throne, we expect something to happen, right? And when people ask us to pray, we expect something to happen. So, sorry for disturbing the order here, but could we just bow our heads for a moment? Father, we're just so thankful for our dear brother and sister Figueroa, and Lord, we know that you're mindful of them tonight, and you know the circumstances, Lord, and we're not telling you anything, and we're not instructing you, but you did tell us to make our requests known, to speak it out, so that what is your will in heaven would be done here on the earth. And so, Lord, we're asking for their complete healing. We're asking, Lord, that you would touch them even as we speak here tonight, Lord. And Father, that you would raise them up and restore their health, Lord. For your honor and glory, we just thank you for their service. We thank you for what they're doing for the body of Christ. And now, Lord, they're in need, and we just ask that you would minister to them, Lord, according to their need. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. How many is happy to be in service tonight? Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God with you. And amen. We want to say we've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves so far and been blessed with the services. How many's been blessed by the word of the Lord? Amen. It's been a blessing to me personally, and I'm thankful, amen, for that, and also for the invitation, Brother Doug, asking us to come and be with you again. It's been a few years, and under these circumstances, especially 30 years of Amen anniversary is a special time. So we're very, very happy to be with you and to thank the Lord for that. Amen. That's a wonderful thing, amen, that the God has been able to see you through all the battles. I'm sure it's not been easy, and it's not been a smooth road. Amen, but our God's faithful. Amen. He's faithful to us. Amen. So, again, we just want to say thank you for all the provisions and the baskets and everything that you provided. It's been very, very nice, and we felt very welcome. And so we appreciate that. And we come from Oklahoma, and I was thinking I've heard it said before, I'm from the land of woe. Woe is me. No, but we all come from from places, you know, and it's not been an easy road. And you could say, it's not been an easy road for me too. But our God's been faithful to bring us to this point tonight. Amen. And so we owe everything that we have to the one who's been bringing us through. Amen. And it ought not be a hard thing for us to come to the house of God and to enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise from the depth of our heart, because He's been that kind of Lord in our life, a friend. Amen. And we owe everything to Him. Amen. So it's just an honor to stand here tonight and say that I'm a Christian and a believer of the end time message that God has sent is a privilege. It's a privilege to stand for God in this dark hour. Amen. We should never count it as anything but a privilege. No matter how hard it gets, it's a privilege to be here. Amen. In this end time day. Amen. So let's just, if you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Ephesians 3 and we're going to start at verse 14 here. I'd like to say we bring greetings from the church back home to you, and just always good to meet more of God's children. Amen. There's just something wonderful about it. When we get around people of like precious faith, there's a kindred spirit there, and you can't hide it. Amen. It's just real, and we're thankful to the Lord. Amen. For every one of you. Ephesians 3 and 14, we're going to read down to verse 21. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And then if you would like to turn to Philippians, I want to read just one verse there. Philippians 2 and verse 13. We read here, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Let's bow our hearts again for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, the author of the Word. We realize, God, we're altogether insufficient, Lord, to even handle Your Word. We ask, God, for Your covering and Your grace upon us, Lord, as we would look into Your Word together. Help us, Lord, to surrender our hearts to You and our lips. And Lord, that You just speak through us, Lord, what would be helpful and needful to Your body, that You bless Your people, Lord. You know us each one by name. You know the very depth of our heart. And Lord, we're asking You, God, to minister to each and every heart here tonight. Lord, You said one day to Your disciples, You said, "Without Me, you can do nothing." But then, Lord, Your apostles said later, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So our sufficiency, Lord, lays not within ourselves, but we look to You, for You're our sufficiency tonight. Bless both the hearing and the speaking of Your Word. May You get glory in it all. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated if you'd like. Amen. So I'd like to take my thought tonight on, amen, the power that worketh within us. Amen. The power that worketh within us. The word, Brother David said last night, I'm not too smart, so I like to look up things. Well, I'm not too smart either. I like to look up things too. Amen. That word worketh means to be operative, to be at work, to put forth power, to work for one, and to aid one. Amen. So God is doing the work in our life. Amen. And I believe it's important that we can recognize who it is that's doing the work in our life. Amen. To recognize it's the very God of creation that's working inside of us. Amen. When we see things in our life that begin to come forth and we recognize that that's Christ, amen, in my life. And it's such a blessing to know, amen, because within us dwells no good thing. All right. There's not one good thing within me or within you in and of ourselves. We've proven that. Amen. We've proven, amen, that there's nothing within us that's worth anything aside from Christ. Amen. And so to recognize that He is the one that has begun the work in our life and that He is faithful to finish that work. Amen. And so in Ephesians 2 and 1, and we're going to just start with a few scriptures and quotes here. In Ephesians 2 and 1, a very familiar passage of scripture, but just to kind of get to a thought here, is it starts out, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." I mean, can remember, amen, where you was when He found you. Amen. The condition you were in. Every one of us was there, and I pray none of us are there tonight. And if we're there tonight, we need to come into the light, amen, and get things right before the Lord, amen. So we see that we were all in this condition, among whom also we all had our conversation, which means our lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, amen, even when we were dead in sins, He loved us, amen, and hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Amen. You see, He's taken everything away from us. Amen. It's not you, amen, but it's what God's done in you. Amen. He said, it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Amen. So again, even when we were dead in sins, God was rich in mercy, and His great love is what made Him rich in mercy. It's because of the great love that He has for us. Did that love stop? Did that love quit? No. No, He loved us when we started, and He loves us tonight. He loves us even though we may have before us, "I've come short and I'm not where I want to be." But like the black lady said that night, she said, "Thank God I'm not what I used to be." Amen. Something has happened in my life. Christ has come in my life and I am not what I was. Amen. Can you testify? I'm not what I was. Thank God I'm not what I was. And it's only because of what He done. Amen. It's only because of what He done. Amen. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The prophet tells us that's our position. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. No matter what you feel like, that is your place in the Lord. Amen. We read in Ephesians 1 where Christ was exalted into that high place. Amen. He was exalted and given that heavenly place. Then we read in Ephesians 2 that the church has joined Him and He's lifted us up into that same heavenly atmosphere, that same heavenly position. Amen. That's our position. But it's important we know our position. Amen. The prophet said, amen, one day she'll know her position and then the rapture will take place. So we need to know our position. Our position is in heavenly places, amen. It's not here on earth, it's in the heavenly realm, amen. That's our position in Christ. And then we read in Ephesians 6 where, amen, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. But that word high places is heavenly places. The devil is there attacking you in your position. But your position is above him. Because you're exalted with Christ and you're above it. So all he can do is come underneath you and try to pull you down. But he can't stop you. He can't turn you around. Because Christ, amen, has done the work in your life. Amen. And you can't come down because you're connected to Christ. Amen. Who did this work? God did this work. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. But God did it by His sovereign grace and election. Amen. In our life, He called us out of darkness into light. And we can't boast about it. We can't brag about it. All we can say is, Lord, thank you for it. Amen. You done this. Amen. His power that's working in us. Brother Branham says a prayer here in Birmingham, Alabama, brother. Identification of Christ in all ages. He says, Heavenly Father, we're grateful to see the risen Messiah, 1900 years of all kinds of theology and movements, but still in the darkness of all of it, you promised that you would appear here in the last days in this Sodom day, and you would make yourself known to the children of Abraham, the called, the elected. And here you are tonight after 1900 years. You're just as much alive tonight as you was when you talked to the woman at the well. Amen. It's God manifested in the flesh. Now in the flesh of His bride. For the bride and the husband is the self same flesh. The same self flesh. Amen. The very same flesh. These two are one. Amen. The church is becoming the bride all the time by believing the word. You understand? You're becoming the bride all the time as you receive Christ the Word. You're becoming Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the time by believing the Word so that the Word in the church becomes the same. The Word in the church making it the bride. The last sign, God identifying Himself, the Word in the church. Praise the Lord. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. That's wonderful, amen, to consider, amen, to consider who it is that's working in our life. And I began to look at some different things here and look, and this is kind of building towards something, but I want to digress a moment here. But we look at our world we live in and the universe and all around us and what, amen, we observe in our world, amen. And we, amen, realize that there's many laws that govern our world, amen. There's many laws of science, if you would, that are, we're subject to these things, amen. We have no choice in the matter. We're just subject to these laws, amen. And science through observation, and of course, Brother Doug could probably put a whole list of these laws of science up, being in science like that. But Through observation, science has been able to identify these laws and name them, and you know, like Sir Isaac Newton, his Newton's three laws of motion and laws in chemistry and physics and thermodynamics and all these things. These are laws that God put in this world. Amen. And man, through science, has observed them and named them and studied them and learned about them, amen, and then put them to use. Interestingly, the second law of thermodynamics is a law that it says that all of order and the world, everything's tending towards chaos. Everything's moving from order to disorder. And so, amen, they observed in the universe and things, and even in controlled experiments, that no matter what, it always tends to go from order to disorder. Amen? But yet, in the midst of all that, do you realize we're sitting in the very most orderly thing? Amen? The atmosphere and everything that we live in on this world is so perfectly in order and harmony, amen, that the scientists cannot, amen. I had a teacher in school. I took a little bit of college, and this teacher, he made a statement that was profound to me. He said, all these try to disprove, amen, that there is a God. And he said, and it takes more faith for me to believe there is no God than there is a God, because the order that's in the disorder proves to me there's got to be a God, amen. How could there be such perfection order among disorder? Amen. It defies all the laws that they know of, amen. We look at the earth that we live in and how it moves and how everything is set up and orchestrated so perfect. Even the prophet in the greatest battle ever fought would look in the heavenlies and say he beheld the order of that heavenly host. Amen. Just so perfect. Amen. And so in harmony that just didn't get out of order at all. Amen. Just so perfect. And so you look at the earth's movement and as we sit here, you know, we're moving all kinds of directions. You know, we're spinning and we're orbiting and we're going around the sun and the sun is moving through the galaxy and the galaxy is moving through the universe and we're going all kinds of directions. Amen. But it's all in perfection and harmony. And as the earth goes around the sun, if you've ever looked at the actual orbit, well, the moon is going around the earth, and the earth and the moon are literally going off of that axis back and forth as they go around the sun, but not missing one beat. Not going, amen, it's not an ellipse where we'd get too close and burn up or go too far and freeze up, amen. But God set it in divine order, amen, to testify He's a divine order God. Amen. To show us, amen, God is in control. Amen. Amen. We see that the perfection there, and we look at things that, you know, man first went into space and goes up in above the atmosphere, above the gravity, the law of gravity, you know, that we live by, and then man goes up above the law of gravity. And then he finds himself weightless and he begins to just float around, and it's kind of a neat thing, but we weren't made for that. Amen. Our bodies were not made to be floating around. Amen. We weren't designed to just float. Amen. But God has made us, amen, to be here on earth in a gravity. Amen. Our body was made to be here. Amen. And so they realize that it wasn't working. I mean, it couldn't stand up there very long because of the weightlessness. They had to make perfect kinds of suits and things. But it reminded me of a story Brother Brown talks about, of a bum. And a bum come by one day, and many of you might remember. And he brought this bum in, and the bum was hungry. And so he said, I fixed him up a big old plate of food and stuff. And I began to talk to him. And I said, where you come from? Nowhere. I said, where are you going? Nowhere. And he said, how long you been doing this? About 20 years. He said, the guy had no ambitions, Nothing at all. He said, sir, I just where I am. I lay my hat and that's where I am. Amen? No ambitions. No desire. No change in sight. Just floating around. Amen? Brother Bram says, now that's just about the attitude of the people. Just what I call drifters and floaters. And the people who join the church is just about the same. I've often thought of floating driftwood. A driftwood that just hangs up in any kind of trash pile. Hangs up in any kind of conspiracy theory. Hangs up in all kinds of ideas and gets hung up in those things. When we've got a message from a prophet, amen, to stand on. And we get hung up in all kinds of things. When we've been, amen, the most privileged people in the world, amen, to be sent a word from heaven to our day, amen, for our hour to overcome this day. Amen. It may be an elementary revelation, but people need to have a revelation themselves. God has sent a prophet, and he had the word of the Lord. Amen? We ought to be past that, but as we look around, a lot of people ain't past that. We see people get hung up in all kinds of trash and get diverted off into questions and off into all kinds of things. You need to get a revelation in your heart. God has sent me a prophet. Behold, I send you. Identify yourself in that scripture. Behold, I, God, sent you, amen, a prophet, amen, Elijah the prophet, to your house. Amen. It's got to be a revelation. And only God gives revelation. The preacher can't give it. Mom and daddy can't give it. Amen. The pastor can't give it. But it's got to be a revelation from God to your heart. God sent a prophet for me. Amen. With a word for me. Praise the Lord. He said that's just about the way the floaters does in the church or anywhere. Now you take on a stream like the stream of life, plenty of driftwood hanging up in every trash pile, yet the boat comes along made out of the same wood too. But you notice the boat is made and shaped out by a master who has built the boat. And not only is it shaped out, but it's guided by a master and it is pushed by a power. A power. Amen. And you are all made of the same stuff. It just depends on how your ambitions run. Amen. So I say we find our ambitions, amen, in the Word of God. And the Word that's sent to us in this hour, we'll find our ambitions, amen, that we'll be able to persevere when others go on the sidelines and wash up, amen. But you'll have a power inside of you to push through all the things that lay in the stream of life, amen. And you'll persevere when others say, I can't do it. You'll say, but I can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love this quote here. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, and God did not make you and I just to see if he could do it. He made us for a purpose. Therefore, there is a purpose of us all being here. To me, it's critical that we understand we got a purpose. And we know what our purpose is. And our purpose is greater, amen, than just having a job. And just having, dreams of what we want to have a house or have this or do that. But our purpose is an eternal purpose in God. Amen. Amen. Now, everybody is in agreement. That's our purpose. So it's our purpose when the church house doors are open that we're in our position, amen, serving our purpose, which is to serve the Lord. Amen. Time after time, the prophet would say, be your post of duty. We need to identify what our post of duty is. Amen. In the house of God, in our position, ready, amen, to be a part of the worship, to be a part of the church, amen, to be strong. Well, I'm not much. Well, you know what? When you're not there, you're really not much. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I can't do much. Well, when you're absent, you ain't doing nothing. Praise the Lord. That's free. I'm a pastor, so I have to deal with these things. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is a purpose. Amen. There is a purpose of us all being here. You're not here just to be another human being. Thank God. You're here because that God made you for some purpose. You're not here just to eat the food that God growed. You're here. You're not here just to live in the house that man made, to wear clothing that someone fashioned. You're here for a specific purpose. Young people, you're here for a purpose. It's a specific purpose. Amen. It should be your heart's desire. Lord, what is my purpose? It should be your prayer. God, show me my purpose. Amen in you. Amen. No matter how little you are, that includes anybody that feels little. Yes, sir. How big you are, that includes anybody that thinks they're bigger than what they should be. How important you are. You think you're important, that's you. Or how unimportant you are, that you are important. Amen. Not in a gloating way, but you are important. You're here to serve a purpose. Just as my finger is here for a purpose, my nail on my finger is here for a purpose, my eye, every part of our bodies is here to serve a purpose. It was not put here just to see what it would look like when it was put here, but it was put here to serve its purpose. It was God's divine plan to do so. And if we were put here for a purpose, then there is nothing can destroy us until God's purpose is fulfilled. Nothing can harm us until that purpose that God has put us here for us has been made manifest. No matter how much trouble, thank God. No matter how much trouble we have, how much heartaches or sorrows that we go through, all of these are reasons, and there's a reason for it. God's purpose can never be defeated. Praise the Lord. There's nothing can defeat it. So how happy ought we be today? When you have that revelation, I got a purpose. God sent me here for a purpose. And I'm fulfilling God's purpose in my life. That makes you happy. As the brother was saying, testifying back there or in prayer, and saying, I found my satisfaction in Him. I'm happy when I'm in His will. I'm my happiest when I know I'm doing the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he said, how happy we ought to be, resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God, that there's neither things present nor things to come, neither sickness nor sorrow nor death nor perils nor nothing can separate us from the purpose of the living God. What God has imagined in His mind, what God has purposed in His heart to bring to pass, there's no demon, there's no power, there's nothing can ever separate God's great, immortal, eternal plan. Praise the Lord. So we look at science, and science, by knowledge, again, has studied these laws and studied the different laws and learned how to use those laws to his advantage, amen, to make use of them, amen. So the laws that are round about us, you take the law of gravity and then you take the laws of motion and dynamics and thermodynamics and they begin to develop things, amen. And we see today, man, we see all kinds of things that man has been able to do. He could take build a dam to hold back the water and control the power of the water and create the gravity pulling, amen, and then use that to turn the turbines, to make electric, to power our homes and do all. He's harnessed the power, amen, but he's operating according to the laws that God said in order to put that power and use it for his benefit, amen. And so we can see him harness the wind and make electric, and he can harness steam and, amen, put it into an engine and pull a train over the mountains full of good things, right? He amen, man's been able to do this out of his, amen, his desire to improve himself, amen, and he's been able to accomplish great things. And now, you know, it just advances on up to fuels and gasoline and jet fuel and jet propulsion and then, you know, he takes to the skies, and, you know, man for centuries lived under the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. But by using these laws to his advantage, he overcome the law of gravity and rises above it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Continually advancing on and on. Amen. Mastering these laws. Now he can just sail through the air. Amen. Effortlessly. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So here's two laws. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ and the law of sin and death. And every man was held captive by those laws. Born into this condition. Didn't have a choice. We were born into it. Amen. And the law of sin and death reigned supreme over every mortal being. Right? Amen. But God rich in mercy. God rich in mercy. Amen. For his great love, he came down, amen, to make a propitiation, amen, to make a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice for you and me. Amen. We look in Revelation 5 and the call went out. Who's worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no one was found worthy. No one could even look upon the book. Amen. I imagine Moses was there. And he held his head down. Amen. Elijah was there. He held his head down. Every man that's ever walked the face of the earth, nobody could do it. But there was one. And he's the one that deserves all the glory. He's the one that we come to worship. He's the one that's moving in our heart. He's the one that's calling on our soul. He's the one unveiling himself to us. Amen. Revealing himself in our life. Amen. He rose and he conquered the law of sin and death using another law. The law of redemption. The law of redemption proved to be greater than the law of sin and death. It was a higher law than the law of sin and death. It was a greater law. Amen. A greater law. Amen. Than what held us. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's a greater law. The law of redemption is still at work tonight. The law of redemption is still available tonight. The law of redemption, amen, to bring you back into your right condition is still available tonight to every man, woman, boy, child, amen, that's gotten out of the way, that's gotten backslid in their heart, amen, that has refused to get stirred back up, amen. There's still redemption for you. There's still love for you. There's still grace for you. It don't matter how low you went. It don't matter how dark it got. It don't matter what the devil's done to you. There is a law of redemption for you. Amen. All you got to do is reach out and get a hold of it. All you got to do is say, Christ, come my way. Lord, speak to my heart. Oh, God, renew me. Renew me in your spirit. Amen. It's still at work tonight. Amen. Because that law of redemption, amen, working in your life, you don't have to be propped up. Amen. You don't have to be preached up. Praise the Lord. When that law of redemption is working inside of you, amen, and it's alive in your heart, amen, you don't need the preacher to preach you up into, amen, victory. Amen. You come in victory. Amen. You walk in victory. You live in victory because you know nothing else but victory because you're in Christ. Amen. And everything else. Amen. Well, what about the hard times? He's still in victory. What about the valley? I'm still in victory. Amen. Because the devil can't stop you. No devil can get in between you and God. Amen. There's nothing by no means shall hurt you or separate you from the love of God. It's in Christ Jesus. And it's Him that's doing the work. It's the power of God that's working in your life. Amen. As Brother Andrew said, amen. Amen. You don't need, amen, to somebody to amen. You've been lit by the message, amen, with expectation. And you sit here tonight as a son and daughter of God, you're entitled to have an expectation. You're entitled to have your expectations high, amen, and keep them high. You're entitled to expect good things. You're entitled to expect, amen, the blessings of God. You're entitled, amen, to the good of the land, amen. Don't let the devil talk you out of what your inheritance is. Your inheritance is the good of the land. God wants you to have the good of the land. Amen. Reminds me of, amen, my father-in-law, we was building them a house, and they lived in an old house, and they had 10 acres there. And was talking one day, and he said, they were going to redo their mortgage and things. And I told him, you ought to have your land surveyed and break off a part of it because he's going to have a mortgage on part. And then, you know, so they had to survey the land. And they found out that down on the south end of his fence row, old fence, old rickety fence, that he actually owned 100 foot beyond that fence. He didn't know it. Had no idea it was his until a surveyor come and said, no, that's your land. Ain't that like the devil? To put fences up and make you think you only own this much. But you know what God in rich and mercy did? He sent a certified surveyor in our day. Amen. And he located the pins for you and I and said, no, your inheritance goes further than that. Amen. You have a right to your healing. You have a right. Amen. You have a right to deliverance. You have a right to victory. You have a right. Amen. You own more than what you think. Amen. The devil's only put a fence up there and said, you can't go beyond this fence. That's not yours. But a surveyor said, go on the other side of the fence. Amen. It's your land. Amen. It belongs to you. Amen. Thank God, amen, for a divine, amen, voice, a surveyor that came and relocated the stakes. Amen. And told us what our real inheritance is. It's bigger than what we thought. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, this message is full of its own fire. Amen. You got to get in it. You have to get in it. He told us, he said, you can't be a sympathizer and just sympathize with it. He said, but you got to get in it. When you get in it and it gets in you, guess what? The anointing that's in it, amen, becomes your anointing. Amen. It comes alive in you. And you operate in a different strength than your own strength because there's an anointing in the Word of God that's come down in this day. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's anointing. Amen. For the hour you live in, there's an anointing. Amen. For the darkness of the day, there's an anointing. Amen. For the chaos that you live in, there's an anointing that you can walk. Amen. Through the darkest hour, the darkest age, and have the praise of God in your heart because you're not a part of it. Amen. Amen. Brother Bram says, I love this message. Restoration of the bride tree. Love that message. You know, a fish has a law, and that fish can stand up here in the water, and he has a law within him. And if he will just let go of that law that's in him, he can sink plumb to the bottom of the sea, and it won't bother him a bit. Won't break one cell. You tried to do it. That law's not in you. You can't do it, but the fish can. He deflates himself of the air in such a way that he can, and there's nothing in him to burst open. And he's made that way, and he knows it, and he can enforce that law to take him plumb to the bottom of the sea and then raise him back up again. A bird has a law. Now its body is material, it's earthbound, sits on the earth here, but it has a law within it that the way it spreads its wings, it can fly plumb out of sight. That's against science. They claim its earthbound gravitation has a hold here, but it can defy the gravitation and lift itself right off of it and go right on out because it has to put that law that's in it to work. And it's built to possess that law. He says, now I begin to feel religious. If you got the revelation of it, amen, it caused some stimulation in your heart, amen, because stimulation comes by the revelation, right, amen. And remember, he said, there was a voice that spoke out and said, don't take away, amen, the oil and the wine. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. He said, that was a voice from the throne that come out and said, don't touch that. That belongs to me, amen. So there's stimulation from revelation that belongs to you and I, and God don't want anybody touching that. So don't let a preacher talk you out of it. Don't let somebody else talk you out of it. You deserve, amen, you have a right, amen, to be stimulated by the revelation when it strikes your heart to say, glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, now we have a law, and that law of life is in us. And you're made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God, and you don't have to knuck down to the devil. That goes for every one of us, amen. Believers, you don't have to knock down to the devil over anything. We've got a law, and that law is the Holy Spirit. The only thing you know you have to do is know how to let go and let God. You keep fighting at it, and it won't never work. When you let go and let God, that's all. If the fish said, wait, I'll catch my breath real good. I'll breathe up some oxygen in me, and I'll see if I can go down. No, he doesn't do that. He said, no, if he does that, he'll burst open. The birds say, I'll see if I can run fast enough down here and maybe I'll take off. No, he won't do it. He'll just fall down. He's got to know how to control that law to control him. And the same way it is with us. It isn't what we fight and pull and hurry and, oh, if I don't get this and I don't get that, that's not it. Amen. It's to know that the law of life is in you. Amen. And you just let go and let God. And then he takes you to your healing. He takes you to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or anything that he's promised, any claim that he's given is yours by letting go and letting God. And we know that death entered in Eden through unbelief. That's how it entered. Amen. Eve got to fellowshipping with the wrong one. Oh, it started out good. It was a good talk on the Word. It's having fellowship around the Word. Amen. But then it took a turn. And the turn was, you know, based on the thought that, you know, God's a good God. God's a loving God. God's merciful. He wouldn't do that. Surely. Amen. That's how it always starts. Right? Amen. That's the same devil that's around, amen, the churches today. The same devil works the same way. You know, I know the Word says, I know the prophet says, but it's really, it doesn't matter. It's not important. We don't have to do everything that he said. Yeah, that's it's not important to just everybody, but I'll tell you who it's important to. It's important to the bride. It matters to the elect. Because they are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh and life of his life. Amen. And there's the Holy Ghost in you will not deny the Word. The problem is people don't have the Holy Ghost, or they'd come under subjection to the Word and they say, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Amen. I subject myself to the Word. Amen. Or something's not wrong and right in here. Amen. Something's wrong inside of me. If I can't come under the headship of the Word, something's wrong inside of me that needs fixed. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's important to the bride. Amen. Sin entered through unbelief and opened the door and brought death, and the law of sin and death began to reign. But you know, God, rich in mercy, when he sent out Adam from his presence, he didn't send him out hopeless, but he sent him out under the blood of the Lamb, showing, giving a glimpse that there's coming something that's going to be a remedy for this situation. Amen. A preview. Amen. That there's going to come a lamb someday and you'll find your way back in. That was the covering. The only covering that worked was the blood of the lamb. Nothing else worked. Fig leaves won't work. None of our goodness will work. None of that works. But only one thing's accepted in his sight, and that's the blood of the lamb. Amen. And we all understand that and know that, I'm sure. Amen. But he was wearing redemption's promise as he walked out, that a higher law was going to come one day. Amen. That this was not always going to reign over God's children. Now we look at Abraham and Sarah, and the law of sin and death was working on them. And God gave Abraham a word of promise, and Abraham believed God. The word coming to you is one thing, but you believing it's another. Amen. And then you receiving it into your heart and holding on to that. So he believed God. And a law called the law of faith began to work in Abraham's life. Now the law of faith is greater than all other laws. Amen. It can possess any law. Amen. It possesses all the laws. Whether it be laws of nature. Amen. Laws. Amen. Of sin and death. The law of faith goes above it. Amen. The chief lawgiver told us that all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. So when we believe, it opens the door. Amen. Between the impossible and the possible, it opens up and all things become possible. Amen. And Abraham and Sarah had received a word from God, and that word was to them. Wasn't to everybody. It wasn't to Lot. It wasn't to Sodom. But it was to Abraham and Sarah. Amen? Sodom was living on the reformers' messages, right? They were feeding on the reformers of days gone by. Amen. Prophet tells us very plainly, those two messengers went down there. But up on the mountaintop, what was happening up there? Abraham was receiving a visitation from God Almighty in flesh, coming down and revealing the secrets of Sarah's heart. And while they had the reformation down there, up on the mountain, there was a restoration going on. Amen. A restoration of life. Amen. Where death was setting in and death was wrapping up. Abraham and Sarah, the law of faith, amen, and the word of God produced a promise in their life, and it turned literally time back in their life and restored them back to a young man and a young woman. Amen. That's you and me, by the way. That's you and me, amen. We're having the time turn back one of these days, amen. Our clock's going to go back, Brother Doug. I'm not going to be 53. You're not going to be 63. We're going to turn back and be a young man, amen, a young woman, a new body. Because we received a word, a restoration, amen, to bring us back to our place. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Abraham believed it. He stood on it. Amen. He lived it. He walked in it. In the good days, he walked in it. In the bad days, he walked in it. When bad news come, he walked in it. Amen. When heartache, sorrow came, tragedy hit. Amen. How many familiar with tragedy? Amen. I've had tragedy in my life. When tragedy hit, there was a power inside of you, amen, that can meet anything that comes your way, because God Himself has deposited Himself in your life, amen, that you can meet the challenge of anything that comes your way. Brother Sean Martin can testify to that. Many of us can testify to that. Amen. His grace is sufficient for everything that we go through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They were ordained for that word. Abraham and Sarah were ordained for the word. Right? They were the elect. They were ordained for the word they received for their day. And we're ordained for the word we've received in our day. Not everybody's going to receive it. Not everybody's going to see it. But thank God, amen, if your eyes are open and you have received the word of God for your day, amen, you ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth to realize God, rich in mercy, has so loved me, amen. He revealed Himself to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have your families, amen, that are, you know, in with you, amen. Say, thanks be to God, amen, for the God rich in mercy, amen. I my family, I'm the only one. I come out of a Baptist home, and none of my family had anything to do with this, but God rich in mercy came in my life and plucked me out, amen, and rescued me from chaos, from confusion. And you think I'm going back? You think there's anything to go back to? I came out of darkness to light. I don't have a desire to go back to darkness. Where could I go? Where can you go? Look around. Where are you going to go? Well, I don't know about the message. Well, you better get a revelation, because it's the only thing that's going to bring you out of this chaos. Amen. Praise the Lord. God revealing Himself. Amen. To you and I. God's got somebody that's ordained for His Word. The Bible said that when He sends His Word forth, it's not going to return void. Amen. That Word's going to capture. It's going to capture the bride. It will. It'll capture the bride. Amen. It'll catch the fish. Amen. Praise the Lord. The prophet Moses, God spoke through Moses and said, God has given you this land. And all Israel heard it. Every one of them heard the same word. But Joshua and Caleb heard it different, didn't they? Because they was ordained to it. You can't help it. He that hath ears, let him hear. You didn't give yourself the ears. God, rich in mercy, gave you ears. Amen? You ever think of that? He who hath ears, let him hear. What does that mean? Everybody's got ears. But God's give you a special hearing so that you can hear beyond the voice of a man and hear the voice of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Peter, at the day of Pentecost, he made the promise. Men and brothers, what should we do? What must we do? Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to them afar off, even in Tucson, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. The promise is to everybody. Amen. The promise is He'll do His part if we do our part. Right? But as long as we throw it off into somebody else and, amen, throw it to somebody else and never take that for ourselves, like Joshua and Caleb. When Joshua and Caleb said, God promised to give you a land, amen, they heard, amen, God promised you, but they thought He said me. They heard different. They didn't see all of Israel. They heard their name. Amen. That's how it's got to be. Amen. And Brother Brown was asked that question. Amen. And he said, amen, the mystery is calling your name as the mystery unfolds. It's calling your name. Not literally hearing your name, but something down inside of you. What is your name? It's your identity. Your identity is calling out. Amen. That's me. That's me. Calling your name. If you push it off to somebody else, it'll never do you no good. Amen. But the law of faith gets a hold of it. Nothing will stop it. Brother Branham said, that's what power is in the church now. It's controlled by a law. And that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments. Thank God for that. It's a law of faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. I believe Brother Andrew was referring to this possibly. Every place the sole of your foot can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith, it opens it to you. You see what I mean? That power is controlled. If you're a son of God or you're a daughter of God, that never leaves you.
Praise the Lord.
That law of faith never leaves you. That means the supernatural is never very far away from you. Amen. It's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it and it's still there. Hallelujah. Amen. The laws of nature mean nothing to God. Nothing. God's supernatural. God created those laws. God can break every one of them if He wants to. Amen. That supernatural element's in us. We're son, daughter of God. God's in us. Makes you supernatural. It makes you not really make sense to some people around you. They don't understand you. They don't know, amen, you're different. You can't help it. You're not putting on. It's just who you are. Amen. You don't have to put on to be different. You're just different. Because you believe, amen. You believe in something. You can't prove it. You can't, amen. Brother Ben said, explain the faith to somebody. Try to explain it. It's unexplainable, but it's real.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, and then when you become subject to that spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that spirit. That spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah. Made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There's no question. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I hope every one of us can say amen to that.
Amen.
Quickly turn to it. I don't stubbornly turn to it. I don't regretfully turn to it. But I quickly turn to it. Because it is my meat to the will, to do the will of Him that sent me. That was Christ's own confession. It's my meat. It's what I live by. It's to do the will of Him that sent me. Amen. It ought to be our meat. To do the will of our Father. Because we got a purpose. Amen. We got a purpose in this life. And that's to fulfill His purpose. Amen. He says, and what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started.
Amen.
It's already happening.
Amen.
The law of redemption's working. Amen. And it's coming soon to a completion. It was once subject to sin, mire, corruption. Now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly.
Amen.
See somebody looking above their trials and looking above the circumstances of life, and they've always got their head in the clouds. Don't pay no attention. They got their eyes on something that's greater.
Amen.
They're looking, amen, to their Father. They're looking, amen, above to their home. Amen. This is not our home. Amen. We think this is home. We make it a home. It's our flesh body that wants to make a home here. But our spirit's crying out. Our heart's crying out. Our soul's crying out for redemption. Amen. For the resurrection to come. We're crying out within us because we long to be with our Lord. Amen. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. Amen. You're going. Praise the Lord. A sick person laying, dying, nothing left but death. That's all can happen. I've seen shadows of people done eat up with cancer, tuberculosis. See them persons a little while after that and perfectly normal and strong. If there is no divine healing, there's no resurrection because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to understand and realize that everything that man has used to overcome the laws of nature was already in the earth itself. He didn't have to create anything. He just had to take what was there. And it had to be made known to him. And then he had to put it to use. Amen. Brother Bram says, now healing is in the reach of every person. Remember, healing is in you. God placed it in the peach tree. Every peach that would ever be in it. Amen. When He planted it in the garden. You see, a peach tree, apple tree, fruit tree just has to grow from drinking the water in the earth. Now each one of you has those potentials in you to deliver you. For it is God. Since you've been planted into Christ by baptism, by a spiritual baptism, you're planted into Christ.
Amen.
It's in you. Amen. He says, and the power that will raise us up is right in us now.
Amen.
We are now in heavenly places.
Amen.
I don't feel like I'm in heavenly places. It's not by how you feel, but it's by faith revealed to you. I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are now in the power of the resurrection. This hour, amen, is tremendous because we're in the very resurrection hour, amen. The rapture has already started. We're in it, amen. We just got to get caught up in it more. Amen. We got to get caught up in the spirit of it more. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what's going on. Remember the first prayer. By believing the word, becoming the bride all the time. Getting caught up, hearing the word, receiving the word. That's Christ coming to you. That's the bridegroom being united with the bride, happening all the time. And all the time as we're receiving Him, we're becoming the bride.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, remember, they was only 2 days' journey away in Kadesh Barnea is what he's referring to. And he held them back for 40 years because of their unbelief. Your healing might not be 5 minutes away, but your unbelief will keep it away from you as long as you live. You've got to believe it. Amen. You've got to believe it. Amen. There's a law of faith that's higher than your sickness. It's higher than your troubles. The law of faith will conquer anything that lays between you and your destiny. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good place to testify. Some of you probably heard the testimony of my wife and what she gave about being healed of migraines a couple years ago. And I want to testify to you. It's easy on the backside to testify, but when you're in the middle of the battle, it's everything but easy. Satan will challenge you. He'll press at you. He'll trouble you. He'll give you mind battles like you never had before. Amen. Especially as a preacher proclaiming the Word of God and proclaiming healing. Amen. That God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet your wife's not at church because she's having a migraine headache and can't be there. She's in a dark room and with the lights off and struggling with all kinds of medicine and still can't function. And it wasn't a week or 2 weeks or 3 years or 5 years. It was years. I don't even know exactly how many years to say it started, but it started and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And we're praying. We're asking God. We're calling out. And it's getting worse. Ever been there? It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Abraham, you're not getting stronger. You're getting weaker. But I've got a promise. My God will not fail His Word. And I can testify to you that there were some dark days and really hard days. And she had been through breast cancer in 2006 and 7, come out of that. And then this just progressively seemed to get worse and worse and worse and worse and more frequently. And now, you know, I've been pastoring for 7 years now, 7.5 years. And it's rough. We went to doctor after doctor. If you look through her phone, there'd be a list of doctors. We've been to neurologists and I came and name ever, all the testing, all the money, all the everything we went through, and people promising, I think I know what it is. I think I know what the remedy is. I think I know what it is. And all the time getting worse. Spending money because you desire. And sadly, there's some out there that I feel like are willing to take your money because of your hopeless condition, and they're not willing to refund any of it. When they think, amen, if you do this and come here, amen, we'll get you better. I know they got to keep their doors open, but it seemed like they ought to have some heart about them to say, you know, I didn't fulfill. It didn't work out the way I thought. So let me give you a couple thousand back, you know, to help you out. Right? Amen. I did cabinet work my whole life. If somebody wouldn't happen, they said, I didn't like that. Amen. Guess what I did? I tore it out and rebuilt it. Seems like it'd be the right thing to do. You know, you want people to be satisfied. And when they leave with empty pockets and unsatisfied, it's not a good feeling. And that happened over and over and over to the point where my wife said, I'm through. I'm through with doctors. I don't want to try anything else. They don't have the answer. There's no answer. And all along, amen, in your heart, you know the answer. Amen. But I began to think, you know, how... Amen. You relate because you're a message believer. You think of Brother Branham and the hardship he went through and what he described and on the wings of a snow white dove and how hard it was on him. And I can't even relate to that, but I just imagine, amen, what it was for him. Listen, this message came through great trouble and trial to us. It cost a lot. Amen. Amen. It cost a lot. He said, while I'd be there struggling to stand up and so weak and everything and pray and the very least of needs be met or the greatest of needs be met, and all the time I'm there struggling and saying, Lord, what about me?
Amen.
And I can testify, amen, that God had my back. Because when I would stand before the church and get under the anointing, amen, something would come under me. And I would declare, I know my God is going to bring her out. I know my God is a healer and He will perform it. Amen. I know He will. Amen. It's been revealed to me. I can't undo it. Amen. I can't deny it. God made it real in my life. That's the difference between revelation and intellectual faith. When God reveals it to you, there's nothing that will stop you. There's nothing that will turn you around. You believe God. Amen. Amen. And so the testimony is, after this long period, and I was on a Saturday preparing for service, and I have a little office in our house, and I was in there preparing, and I come out of my office to go check on her. I knew she was having a rough day. It wasn't every day that she, but there was too many days. Amen. 2 or 3 days in a row, and then a couple of good days, and another 2 or 3 days, or maybe a week, you know, down. And I went there to check on her. And the lights, you know, down and everything, and I go in there, and she has her phone. She's watching a service. Not that it matters, you know. We just say what it was, you know, who it was or what. God uses vessels. Amen. God uses vessels. Whomsoever He chooses is yielded to Him, He'll use it. And Brother Jeremy Schreiner was having service, and his associate there, Brother J.R. Reek, was preaching. And my wife, he was going through testimonies, I believe is what she told me. And she was listening for a while, and then she thought, I'll just turn it off. And then something said in her heart, no, maybe God's got something for you. And so she stayed, and she began to, you know, just listen to the rest of it. And then Brother Jeremy got up. Now, to backdrop this, I have a daughter, a man that's, thank the Lord, believes God. And she woke up that morning, and she prayed. And her prayer was, Lord, speak to Mom in a supernatural way today, that she'll know it's You. And so Brother Jeremy testified as he got up there, and he began to close the service, and he's singing, and he said for 15 minutes he's being dealt with to speak about my wife. And he's putting it off. He's like, why would I bring her up? She's not even a part of this church. And why would I, she's probably not even watching. Why would I? He said, I just couldn't get away from it. There was a burden on my heart. Thank God, amen, for a burden on our heart to God could deal with us in such a way. And so he finally just said, I'm going to say it. There's a sister. Her name's Stephanie Collins. And she's on my heart right now. She's real heavy on my heart. And I want us to pray for her, that God will deliver her. And my wife testified, the presence of the Lord just come in the room and just consumed her. Amen. And tears flowing, and the presence of God so glorious. And I walked in, and she's in the midst of this, and she said, I can't talk right now. I can't talk. God's doing something right now. Amen. And I want to testify to you, from that day forward, it's never been the same. Never. Because God is rich in mercy. He's just looking for somebody to believe Him. He's just looking for somebody to step out of the boat. Amen. When they hear the call, come to Me, and step out of the boat and walk on the water and trust God with your need. Amen. Amen. And then the devil gets involved, and you know, you hear testimonies. The devil turns it around and says, well, that was her. That you're different. God won't do that for you. He did it for them, but not you. That's not the law of faith working in your life. The law of faith's different. The law of faith responds and says, if God will do it for them, He'll do it for me. Amen. Another testimony. I was testifying of an incident that happened in my life. I had a building houses back right at the downturn of the economy, and everything was looking bad. And I had two houses, me and another guy, and we had two houses for sale. Neither one of them selling. One on the market for 7 or 8 months, and the other one coming on the market. And I was getting nervous because everything was going bad. And I was down at the church praying because service was Wednesday night and the pastor had asked me to preach. It's good to get along with God, isn't it? There's a lot of victories won when you get along with God. I was alone with the Lord, and it's just one of them special times. Just a special time with Him. I love those times. And I got done praying, and the presence of the Lord is so real. And I come out and the church and locked up and was driving down the side of the church there, and just as clear as could be, here come the devil. But he came at the wrong time. He came, what about those houses? To bring me down, Brother Doug. You know how he does. Bring us down into the earth. We're in the atmosphere. Amen. I was still caught in that atmosphere, though. I wasn't ready to come down to earth. And I just testify to you, just because he'll do it for anybody. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. He's just looking for somebody to believe him. And as I had that thought, I heard myself speak against that thought, and I said, I'll sign a contract tomorrow. Now, that was an experience I'd never had before or since. But something come over me, and I said it, and I thought, why did I say that? All I can do is say, if the Lord's in it, something's going to happen. Don't know. Well, the next day come, I forgot about it. I woke up, got ready, going to work, and on my way, driving to a job. First call I got, probably 7 or 8 o'clock, just wasn't expecting any call. I get a call from a woman I talked to like a week before about another one of those two houses, and I completely forgot about her. And she called me up, and I testify to you, the very first words out of her mouth were, we're leaving town today to go back to Texas, and I want to sign a contract on that house. Now, I testified of this in Arkansas, where they're having the meeting, Brother Andrew's church there, and Sister Sarah Moore's. I didn't know it, but I shared this testimony there at their church, and I want you to hear the response of faith, the response of faith in her heart. She came not feeling good. She wanted to stay home, but she knew I was coming. She said, I just felt like I ought to be there. And so she pushed herself to be there. And while I'm testifying to this, unbeknownst to me, Brother Matt had two houses that had been on the market, one for a year and one for like 10 months. And he said, we had went months without any activity whatsoever. He said, one, we hadn't even had a call for like 6 months. Realtors didn't have anything. And she heard that testimony and she said, if God will do it for him,
yes.
He'll do it for me.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes, sir.
Well, God heard that.
Amen.
Brother Matt testified to me a couple weeks later. He wanted to make sure everything went through. He said, I got to tell you, God used you in that service. He said, let me tell you what happened. We had two houses. And he goes through and he said, the one that was for sale, I don't remember which one was first, but he said, the next day, they got a call from a realtor. We have a looker, and they signed a contract the next day on that house. That's not all. The next day, they had another looker at the other house, and by Monday, they signed another contract on the other house because somebody believed God. Amen. You tell me what's greater, your trouble or our God? Amen. If you just dare to step out in faith and believe, amen, there's no telling what God will do for any of us. Amen. And testimonies beget testimonies. I shared that testimony in Brother Jeremy's church. And then Brother Jeremy sat back there with a house that hadn't had any activity for a while. He tried to sell it. And he said, I was rejoicing and saying, man, that's so good. And the Lord spoke to him and said, what about you? He said, challenge me to believe. He said, yes, Lord, I believe you. Well, guess what? His house sold too. So if you need a house sold, just step out and say, Lord, hey, man, I need my house sold, because God's in the house selling business. Amen. He's in a way making business. Praise the Lord. I share that to tell you that's faith's response to a testimony. If you'll do that for them, you'll do it for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just going to try to hurry up here. I want to ask you as we just try to get to the bottom here. Nature's laws have to yield to God. When Moses stretched his rod out over the land of Egypt and called forth flies and frogs and all these things, there's a higher law that overtook nature, right? When he stretched his rod out over the Red Sea, there's a higher law that overtook nature. When Joshua spoke to the sun, said, "Son, you stand still," and God caused the sun to stand still, how many laws were broken that day? God, the laws that he put in place mean nothing to him, and they really shouldn't mean anything to us because our God's greater than our laws, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. When the doctor says you can't live, if that's as, you receive that report and that's as high as you look, that'll be your report. Amen. If the doctor says, amen, that according to medical science, it's only bad, amen, like the little sister there that Brother Ram the prayed, and the little sister that is rejoicing, amen, or he said, "You're going home," and the little nurse there saying, "Well, you don't understand, according to, this has never happened before." And that old man put his arm around and said, "Honey, let me tell you something. You're looking at an instrument. You're looking according to what you know. But we're looking higher. We're looking above that to a God that rules over medical science." Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. When science said, "You can't leave the ground," if the Wright brothers would listen to that, they'd have never broke that barrier, right? Amen. Brother Bram tells us, you see, the progress of the church has followed the progress of time. And you know that. We've changed now from airplane to astronaut. There's got to be a change. And we've seen the three changes come in the progress of transportation of power. It always takes an added power. An added power. An added power. To keep more and more and more. Why don't the airplane get up there? It hasn't got the power to do it. It isn't built for it. It couldn't do it. The astronaut has the power. The tube that he's in has the power. He's up there. He goes up. He sends up like an electronic and atoms, and which are far greater and powerful than gasoline, anything else we've ever had. We're in another age. The trouble of it is that science keeps moving on in their achievements, but the church wants to settle down and remain riding old Dobbin down the road. Yes, sir, that's right. My mother joined years ago. You ought to join too. See, don't think about a thing like that. Let's rise. All things are possible. Science has a tree that they climb, and they can only climb so far. Then that's as far as they can go. And that's the scientific research. They kill themselves. But you see, on the tree of faith, there's no end to it.
Amen.
Amen. You just keep on going. That's the tree that we should be on tonight. The tree of life. The tree of faith. Not headed towards the moon, headed towards heaven, but headed towards God. For the glorious rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ in His presence, amen. His power, His very life out of heaven, now come down and make us join the church and come down, even make a shout, but come down to let His whole life live through us. Live in the heavenlies and carry yourself away till you see things that is to come, was, which is, and shall come, lifting above anything that the church has had since the days that Christ was on earth. And we're enjoying it today. Sure, we're in a great age, friend, a great time, an astronaut age. God, give us astronauts. Amen. Give us men and women, daring men and women. Amen. What did John Glenn and them have to do when they stepped into that tube? They were pioneers. God wants pioneers to His Word. Astronauts who will take the things that we have got and not be satisfied with it, but we're going on. God is making achievements.
Amen.
There's no place for us to rest. We got to press on because, amen, the coming of the Lord is upon us, and it's going to take added power and added power and added power. Amen. Science don't stop reaching for more. Why would the church stop reaching for more? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a uniting time. You say amen? This is a uniting time. Ephesians 5:31. says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I'm going to hurry up. As we're united with Christ, the Word, there's a transforming power that's taking place in our life. And that is the power that's working within us. Amen. That's the power that's at work within us right now. Amen. I was listening to a radio sometime back, and I come across something that they were talking about that caught my ear. Man has been searching for clean energy for years, trying to find an energy that was clean. And recently they had a breakthrough. They were able to conduct an experiment. Brother Doug's probably familiar with that, and he may have shared it with you. But they were able to conduct an experiment, first time ever, that they actually had an experiment that had a positive net gain of energy. Meaning more energy come out of it than what was put in it. Which was previously thought to be impossible. But we're living in the day of the impossible.
All right.
Amen. We're living, amen, in an age where all things are possible. So science didn't quit. They had a view. They had a vision. They had something in view, amen. They were reaching for more. Because they knew there was something more. There's something inside telling you there's more of God for you. There's something greater for you. I can have more of God. I can walk with God. I can have a relationship with God. I can go back to the God, amen, that walked in the Garden of Eden with Eve and Adam, amen. I can have that walk in my life. Amen. So more energy was yielded than it took to make it happen. And this certainly defied laws. The president's chief advisor for science and technology said, "We have had a theoretical understanding of fusion for over a century, but the journey from knowing to doing can be long and arduous. Today's milestone shows what we can do with perseverance." Stands out to us, don't it? You know, you got to believe before you can be perseverant. But when you believe, you will be perseverant. It's interesting. He said this quest became more serious in the late 1940s and early 1950s, which is quite interesting. In the early 1960s, they invented the laser, and they found out by very intense light they could produce the extreme heat needed for this to take place. So it takes intense light and intense heat. Amen. Staying under the light of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Letting it heat you up real good.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's going to cause something to happen. For the past 60 years, they've been trying to accomplish this. And they broke the barrier. It became from theory to reality. And the fuel that's needed for it is hydrogen and oxygen. God hiding in simplicity. But understand that the nuclear energy we have now is based on fission, which is splitting the atom, right? We're familiar with that. And you split the atom and all the energy that they use to make the electric and stuff. And we're familiar with splitting of the atom. Amen. At Calvary, Adam, second Adam, was split. Masculine and feminine, right? Out of his side would come forth the bride. Amen. And oh, what a reaction that was, amen. At Pentecost, what happened, amen? It was a great reaction. It began to explode and go, amen. It was a great thing, amen. It covered, amen. It went out, amen. And a great reaction, amen. There's great power in the early church, was there not? Amen. But Satan got involved. You know, the waste from the fission, the nuclear waste, it got involved. The Antichrist spirit come in trying to defile it. Make it formal and cold and powerless. Right? That's what he does. So if you sit here cold, formal, and powerless, Satan's got a hold of you. Prophet warned us, when you feel yourself getting indifferent, a warning, there's another spirit working its way in. Amen? So it's released a great power. Amen? But now at the end time, it's going to take a greater power. Right? It's going to take more. We're in a different age. We're in the age of the rapture. We're not in the age of the beginning of the church. We're at the end time. It's going to take more power than it's ever been. And that power, amen, is this fusion that they've discovered, where it's not the splitting of an atom, but it's the coming together. Amen. It's the coming of the bride and the bridegroom together. And what is it doing? It's releasing a power that's greater than anything ever before in the world. Amen. Listen to this scientist in this interview. This will bless your soul. Fusion is the main source of energy in the universe. All stars, our sun, it's the only power source known is fusion. It's the original power source. And all the energy on the earth up to this time has been derived from the energy from the sun, whether it be wind, whether it be solar, whether it be water being evaporated, it's all a part of the energy from the sun on the earth, right? It's all a product of the energy produced at the center of the sun. Amen? That's the energy. Amen. He went on to say, what we tried to do is bring that sun on the earth and put it in small reactors and make it a small sun. Amen. Miniature, what was it, Messiahs? Amen. Miniature, amen. Sons of God, amen. Just like our Father, amen. Miniature sons upon the earth. The thing is, it's a limitless supply of energy. This reaction, amen, it doesn't just produce a small amount. It's an abundant amount. And he said, if we can figure out how to contain it, it'll supply all the energy we'll ever need. And beyond that, amen, because it's limitless. The coming together, the bride and the bridegroom's releasing an energy. Do you see it? Amen. It's a uniting time. It's a time, amen, when the bride and the bridegroom are coming together. As you receive the word, and you become the word, that's causing something to happen in your life. And you're becoming more and more like him. Amen. Trying to achieve it. And they did achieve it. It's a sign to us. We're at the end time. The power that they're coming into now has never been tapped into before. And so is the power that lays in this word we've received. There's never been a power like it. Amen. It'll change our bodies. Praise the Lord. Brother Bram says the uniting time and sign. He said God is uniting his bride. She's coming together from the east and the west, the north and the south. And I'd like to say it's wonderful when churches come together like you have. Different fellowships, don't matter. We come together around the Word of God. We got one thing that we all have in common. We're in love with him. Amen? We lay aside everything else. Amen, because we're being united around the Word. Amen. You know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, the love of God in the body of Christ is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it unites us stronger together. Amen. Brother Bram talking about that, and he said, you know, he was testifying about that being caught beyond the curtain of time, and he said that love that was there, he said, was so great, and he was testifying about it, and he said, I know it's going to be something like this at the time of the rapture. Amen. Divine love. Love divine. It's going to be in the body of Christ. It's going to be something like it was over there. Oh, brother, our precious brother. Oh, sister, everybody hugging one another and just love. Amen. Nothing there but divine love. Amen. He said it's going to be like that at the time of the rapture. Amen. So, oh God, let the love of God be in me. Amen. Let the love of God be alive in my heart. Amen. Let us put aside our differences and put aside everything else and have love in our hearts above all things. Amen. He said there's a uniting time and that's on right now. What is she uniting for? The rapture. Amen. That's what it's all about. We're coming, amen, in union with Christ because the rapture is it's time for it. Amen. God's getting her ready. Yes, sir. Uniting. What is she uniting with? With the Word. For all heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. She's uniting herself with thus saith the Lord. Regardless of what any denomination or anybody else says, she's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She's a bride. That's right. She's uniting herself with her bridegroom. See, the bridegroom is the word. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. As you are uniting with Christ, you are becoming the bride. Amen. And oh, what power is at work within your life. What is that power that's working within us? Who is this one that's working in your life? Amen. Can you recognize who it is? Can you really recognize that's Him in my heart? He's the one that pulls me to prayer. He's the one that pulls me, amen, through my trials. He's the one that causes me to persevere. He's the one that raises me up when I'm down. He's the one that's doing the work in His church, amen. He's the one that's going to fulfill it, amen, in you and me. Aren't you so thankful for that? Amen. Can you recognize that today? Let's bow our hearts before Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're too wonderful for us to fully understand. God, when we consider these things, and how gracious You've been to us. And Lord, we can look back as we read there in the Scripture, and we can look back in our life and see where we started. I look where I started. Lord, I didn't have a hope except You, Lord, would come by somehow. None of us did. We couldn't understand life. We couldn't understand the meaning of life. We were wandering aimlessly. But Lord, You were so rich in mercy that You come by. And You opened our blinded eyes. And we realized, God, it was You. We realized, Lord, it was You that opened our eyes. And we realize today that it's You that's brought us to this moment. And today, Lord, as we're here in Your presence, Father, we realize that whatever we have need of in our life, God, that You've already provided for that need. And it belongs to us. Lord, all that holds us back is applying that law of faith in our heart to believe. Lord, You're more than able, God, to turn, Lord, things around in our life. You're more than able, Lord, to turn darkness into light. You're more than able to heal migraine headaches. You're more than able, Lord, to meet needs and financial situations. You're more than able, Lord, to, God, to reconcile hearts and lives. You're more than able to deliver us. You're more than able to heal us. You're more than able to make a way where there seemed to be no way. God, You, Lord, who parted the Red Sea, Lord, You can make a way for us today. Whatever we have need of here today, Lord, we know, God, that You're greater. We know that You're stronger. We know that Your word, Lord, will prevail over every situation. And Father, we ask, Lord, God, that You would move, Lord, on behalf of Your children. Lord, every heart that's in need right now, just holding our need before You, the all-seeing, all-knowing God. Oh, Lord, God, come by and minister, Lord, to that heart and that need. As Your prophet so told us, Lord, that there's a law within us, Lord. A law of life that's working inside of us, Lord. It's so much greater than the law of death. It's so much greater than the law of sickness. It's so much greater than medical science. It's so much greater than anything in this life. And oh God, let that law be released inside of every heart. Let that law be enacted in every soul. Just understanding we have possession of a law that's greater than our trouble and our hardship and our trials. Oh, God is so much greater. Father, may you minister to that heart and that life today, whatever their need is, Lord. God, if there's some here that are, Lord, needing the Holy Ghost or in question of their soul's condition, God, we pray for that soul, Lord, that you would help them, give them grace, Lord, to find, Lord, a place of deep sincerity to call upon your name, Lord, and to stay there, Lord, knowing that you're faithful, God, to meet an individual in need. Father, we love you. God, we commit this service to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.